China was 100% on a silver standard. So the Brits had to use silver to pay for all this stuff. All the silver was going out of England into China. They said, we need to stop this. They set up Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, HSBC. And what they did was finance the opium trade to get the Chinese people addicted to opium. And the only payment they'd take for that addiction was silver. And that's how they got silver flowing back into England, was to get the people of China who had silver and had a lovely life addicted to opium. And that's when it all started. Since then, Bank of England, the City of London, even the COMEX, all has been about controlling the price of silver. And even with the Industrial Revolution, most of the silver is now gone, will never come back. People need to start thinking of silver as money again. And when you start thinking that way, it's probably a 1-to-1 gold-silver ratio.
Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very, very much for tuning in. It's great to have you back. Sean from SGT Report here with my longtime friend, Bix Weir. Guys, the silver and yes, gold story is about to change the world as nation states and human beings turn to real money over fiat debasement. You're not going to want to miss this one, guys, and you're going to want to keep stacking. If you haven't started, start now. Thanks for tuning in. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. We've told you the truth about the destruction and the demise of the US dollar and its purchasing power on this channel for more than a decade. So how do you feel about leaving your money in the bank? Not great, right? It's losing value every single day because it's being debased. So if it's stressing you out, why not invest smarter with Noble Gold Investments? Precious metals are simple and real, tangible wealth. And by the way, gold just broke a new all-time high in USD. There isn't a company on the stock market that was around 2,000 years ago, but guess what? Gold was. It's a reliable, dependable, and authentic way to protect your wealth. That's why you can't go wrong with precious metals. They always have your back. Noble Gold Investments is the same. Their American-based experts will show you how to set and forget your IRA or 401k. Now, there's no guarantee of any kind with any investment, so do your own due diligence, but you'll get a dedicated professional assigned to you from Noble Gold. So no hassle, no call centers. This month, Noble Gold Investments is giving a free quarter-ounce gold standard coin with every qualifying IRA investment. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to claim your gold coin. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very, very much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGTReport.com with one of my all-time favorite guests, a returning guest time and time again. We've known each other now for, boy, I don't know what, 15 years, Bix? Yes, Bix Weir is back from Road to Ruta, guys, amidst a puppet president that I like to call a dog king, who's now falsely claiming twice today alone that in World War II, his uncle was eaten by cannibals. The man is a delusional dog king, and it's all part of the humiliation ritual. But what I wanted to show you guys from Zero Hedge today is this. The Federal Reserve is clearly trapped. This is Larry Leopold, and he concludes that the Fed and its banks, sooner or later, will provide more monetary accommodation or the entire debt structure will collapse. Guys, the Fed is caught between a rock and a hard place. If they raise rates, well, the debt payments become unsustainable. The whole Ponzi scheme collapses. People won't be able to pay their bills. They're already having trouble doing that. And if they lower rates, inflation goes through the roof, which is why today with my good friend Bix Weir, we're going to be talking about the Silver Institute's 2024 Silver Survey versus the 2023 survey. Let me bring Bix on now. Bix, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, and it's quite easy to see through the fog these days at the fraud going on in our financial system.
Oh my God, it's just overwhelming. By the way, as we're having this conversation today, guys, gold is at $2,396 an ounce, Bitcoin is at $63,000, and silver is at $28.55, and they are fighting like heck to keep it from piercing $30 an ounce. We'll get Bix's thoughts on that number in just one second. Bix, I have good news though. I was able to locate with my sleuths working on my behalf to help me find this secret footage secured from COMEX Security. And we're not exactly sure who this is, but it's very, very funny to watch. Check this out.
Now stand aside, worthy adversary.
'Tis but a scratch.
A scratch? Your arm's off.
No, it isn't.
Well, what's that then?
I've heard worse.
You liar!
Come on, you pansy!
I wonder if that's not Jeff Christian under that costume.
There's a few of them that could be. The silver, literally the silver industry, including the mining companies, have absolutely either no backbone or completely lost their minds. It's really sad, and it's so easy to see through the fraud now. Something's going to break, and I think it's going to break this year.
Well, when you and I first started having conversations, I remember very vividly the first one we ever had. And I did it from my day job, actually. I think it was on my lunch break. And, you know, this whole thing was a labor of love, getting the truth out to the people about real money, honest money, helping explain the fraud of the privately owned Federal Reserve, which can print the fiat currency out of thin air, thereby causing inflation, deflation at will. It's an absolute horror show and a Ponzi scheme. And with $35 trillion in debt, boy, the reckoning is finally here, Bix. And when you and I first started having these conversations, we had no idea it would take until 2024 to get where we are. But I think the collapse is upon us. It can't be escaped. And what do you make of $30 silver? I think if we get past 30, it's Katie bar the door.
Yeah, well, the silver price has been artificially suppressed for about 170 years now. So it is a big deal. It is a big deal. The major banks are short silver. I believe their loss currently sitting is $5 billion, and that's just from the last 3 months or so. And only because silver went up $5. Imagine if silver goes up $50 a pop or $100 at a time, how much money these banks will lose. And so they have to cover it up. They have to cover up with the derivative market, the COMEX silver market, and the annual silver survey. They have to show the world that there's no problem here. There's absolutely no problem. And it was published on Wednesday. And I took a look at it. I've been talking to these guys, the guys who run the Silver Institute and Metals Focus, saying, hey, you got a problem here with the solar panels, you know, rising. Last year, installs were up 76% because there's massive amounts of silver going into these solar panels. How are you going to relate that to the people? Because last year you said it was going to be no big deal. You're off by over 100%. Mm-hmm. And they released their report, and it is shockingly bad. And if you put up the report, this is the 2022 report, or sorry, 2024 report. This is the one in red and blue. See all those red marks? You can click on that. I think it blows it up if you click. All those red marks. Now, this is the data. They do the same format every year. The data in red is historical data that they changed. So they're taking data such as mine production, industrial demand, electronics, photovoltaics, photography, silverware, net investment, and they are changing the historical data to make the new data look not so bad.
Oh, wow.
That's just pure fraud. And pick any one of those red marks, any one of those red squares you see there, and then compare it to 2021. Sean, you can do this yourself. Go pick a red mark. Yeah. On that other one.
Yeah, I see one right here. So 2022,
go down to production. Random one. Go down to random one in like 2020. Yeah, 2022. The most important one, I think, is photovoltaics, which is what's that? Three down from the middle, right? One more, two more down right there. So that's 2022. They say, and those numbers are already in the books. That was last year's. They said last year was 118.1 million ounces were used in photovoltaics. Go to last year's report, 2022, the third one down, it's one over to the left, 140 for 2022 to the left.
I see, 140. Yep. Okay. So they trimmed it by 22 million ounces.
And that is massive amount of silver. 22 million ounces is a massive amount of silver. But if you look at all the red boxes, they changed every single one of those historical datas. And the reason they did it is they don't want you to know that it is completely out of whack. For example, you go down on the far right side, one of the big things they look at is how much change happens every year in silver. So the very bottom is the silver shortage. That's how the silver shortage, every year you take all these numbers, the supply and then the demand, and you net them all out to say, is there a silver shortage going on? And it's been going on for 4 years, and this will be the fifth year. But here's the deal. Last year, they say it's 137.7, but you go to last year on this one, it's 111.9 to 2022. Hmm. That's a massive difference when it comes to telling the world exactly what's happening. If you go back, so go back to that one. Yeah. Now look at the bottom. They said there was a 3% growth in the amount of silver shortage, but using the old numbers, it's a 23% growth. That's the problem is we go into these, everybody and their mother quotes this report. And there's a big difference between, oh, there's been a silver shortage for 5 years now, but it's slowing down. Last year was only 3%. Well, it wasn't. It was 23%, which is a massive difference. And look at the solar and photovoltaics. They're saying right in there in the middle in the blue, they say there was a 64% rise. And that is odd for them to say that, but they knew they couldn't get away with it because solar is regulated and everybody knows how much solar goes in every year. And 76% was the number. So they had to get it up to at least close to 76%. They got to 64, but only by changing the prior year. If you didn't change the prior year, you would have been at 38%, which means they massively underreported by double the amount of silver used in photovoltaics. It should be 350 to 400 million ounces. They're saying it's 193. All this gets distorted. And then the one I just found this morning is other industrial. So because they had to bring up the photovoltaics, they had to take something down. Hmm. So they chose other industrial. They said it decreased. Now, name one industry where they're using less silver. Silver is used in every electronic component. There's no industry on the planet that uses less silver than they did before. Everybody's going to more silver because one, it's cheap, and two, it's the best conductor of electricity is used in every computer component. So what they did is they said other industrial went down, what is that, almost 9 million ounces. So there was a loss of 5%. When in actuality, if you use the numbers from before, it's a rise of 17%.
Oh my God.
So the reason this is such a big deal is every mining company plans using this data. Every manufacturer, every solar manufacturer says, oh, we're fine. It's just a 3% deficit, not a 23%. We're fine. We can still use silver in solar panels. We can put 200, 300, 400 million ounces of silver in every solar panel every year because the price doesn't rise at all. The reality is when this breaks, and this is going to be a really interesting thing, when this breaks and the COMEX rigging of the silver price ends, people will be running around trying to find physical silver. And they won't be able to find it, but there are places that it is stored, and that is in the solar panels that have been installed in the last 3 years. Massive growth. I think within the next 2 or 3 years, everybody will be ripping those down. These are 35 to 40 year long, life assets. They last a long time. They're going to be ripping them down and taking the silver out of them when silver goes to, $300, $400, $500, $600 an ounce. And it's going to be shocking waste of energy, money, everything. You can't plan more than 10 minutes with a rigged market because all the assets get misallocated. And that's the big problem. That's what we're going to run into that very soon. And it's going to get really ugly, especially for the green people who won't be able to make their solar panels. It's just a mess.
It's incredible that we've been documenting this for more than a decade. You've been on this for what, 3 decades nearly. And it's extraordinary. It's as though Joe Biden wrote this report. I mean, literally, we led with the man lying. All he does is lie. It's all he's able to do. And it seems like our entire nation now is built on nothing but lies and fabrications. And here's an aside. Last night, there was a news story on our local news about the copper theft that's going on. It's become a chronic issue. And people are going into light posts. I guess at the very bottom of a light post, some of these lamp posts, you can open it up. And that's where some of the electrics are. And people are stealing the copper wiring out of the light posts. And it's become such a problem. Now they need to pass a law preventing recyclers from accepting undocumented copper. Yes. So they're trying to shut down the theft. Bix, the whole society is melting down because they've debased our currency and they've debased silver's true value. but they're not going to get away with this for much longer, man. And work like yours is so important to help people understand what a bargain silver is at $28. Okay, well, you know, I sound like a broken record. Let me ask you, who is the Silver Institute? Why are they doing this? Why can't we have any honesty in this space at all?
Good question. Well, the Silver Institute is it's a lobbying firm supposedly for silver. Now, here's the other problem is 99% of the population does not want the price of silver to go up. That would mean their flat screen TVs go up, the price of their telephone or their mobile phones go up, the price of their solar panels obviously go up. The price of everything goes up if the price of silver goes up because it's used in so many industries. So the consumers of silver don't want it to go up. The banks obviously don't want it to go up because it's an alternative currency to what they have. It's a standalone currency, much like Bitcoin, much like gold. The miners, half the miners don't want it to go up because they work for the deep state and they are like Glencore and people who like they mine other things. They don't even call silver. They call it a byproduct of mining copper. Mike, it's not a byproduct. It's just massively undervalued. And so there's the majority of people on the planet Earth do not want the price of silver to go up because all the modern conveniences are absolutely dependent upon having cheap and ample silver. I myself want it to go up because I don't want it to go up. I want it to be freely traded because I know the minute you lose your free markets is when you lose your freedom. And that's how they've controlled us for so long, especially since the 1970s, the invention of electronic banking, the invention of computer programs to rig markets. Alan Greenspan did all that. That's the road to RUTA documents that came out of the Fed. So we've had at least, I mean, this has been going on since the opium wars in the 1850s that they've been suppressing the price of silver. But it really kicked into high gear when computers and derivatives came in the early 70s. So we're at the end game of that. The end game was always to print as much money as possible, build your roads, your bridges, your houses, and then pull the plug when it's no longer advantageous to the United States. We're at that point where it's no longer advantageous. So it's all a matter of what day are they going to pull the plug. My guess is they'll do it on the Biden administration because the people who control these computer programs ultimately are the good guys and they can end this game, but it will be so disruptive. Like imagine your checking account being gone one day and your savings account and your 401k and all that stuff that you work so hard for just being gone. That's what a freely traded silver price would do because it would destroy the banking system, which destroys the derivative bubble of $2-3 quadrillion. So that's where we are, but we have to do it. If we want to be free, sovereign individuals, we have to bite the bullet and destroy the old system and start something new.
Well, let me ask you, you're the genius on this stuff. So this final column down here where my cursor is, am I reading this right, that there is a lack of silver to the tune of 142 million ounces in 2023? Is that what we're to understand? I mean, are they admitting to a shortfall in physical silver to the degree that there's only 800 million ounces a year mined globally? They're short 142 million, and we know that number's probably a lie.
The number's a lie, but it's so far that we are consuming so much more silver than we can mine. If you look at the mining numbers up top, I mean, look at it. Like 9 years ago, we were at almost the very top mine production. We were at 996 million ounces that were mined in 2015, and now we're at 830. Silver mining is going down, not up, because the price is so low, you can't mine it profitably, so nobody's mining it. And yes, this is the fifth year. You can see the last 5 years were huge deficits. Even using their rigged numbers. And they don't want to show this to people, but they know it's 10 times worse. So they try to keep it on an even keel. So this is the fifth year, and nobody is saying that this won't continue for at least a decade. It takes about a decade from the time you find a decent amount of silver in the ground to get all the permitting, to get all the mine built, get all the equipment there to dig it up and all that stuff before it comes to market. It's about 10 years. And that's if silver went to, for example, $1,000 an ounce today, it would barely increase the amount of silver mined because it takes so long to find it and get it up in production. And while silver's hovering around $30, nobody's even looking for silver. Nobody's building mines. Nobody's trying to get permits. As a matter of fact, Mexico is doing the opposite. They're shutting down. They said they're going to shut down open pit mining, which would, that's where a third of our silver comes from, is Mexico. So there's a lot of, these are wars going on in the background. These are wars over silver, but at the same time, it's destroying the banking cabal, which controls the deep state. So if you guys want to do your part, go buy as much physical silver. Don't buy silver ETFs. That is a derivative that they use. The silver ETF, again, it's gone from what, 730 million ounces 3 years ago to 270. They are literally draining the SLV silver ETF. Get yourself real physical silver in your own possession only, and then just hang on for dear life, because this is going to be really ugly when it ends.
Hang on, HODL. Hang on for dear life. You know, you've said in the past, and I think you maybe predicted the shutdown of open pit mining of silver in Mexico, because you've said, I think even on this show, you've said Mexico is an extremely wealthy country. They should just stop mining the silver, stop exporting the silver until the price trades freely, because they're just giving it away. I think there's so many interesting things going on in Mexico. The good news is for the Mexican people, they're on the peso. And the peso has actually gained value. The dollar has dropped in value in Mexico by some 20 to 25% in the past 3 years. So I do think Mexico's an interesting story. And there is a war going on here. So let me ask you this. How does that affect a company like First Majestic, which is one of the largest, if not the largest, silver mining company in the world? I've interviewed Keith Neumeyer. How does that affect his company and his mines down in Mexico?
Well, ultimately, when the fiat system fails, which it will, everybody will nationalize, every country. And that's in the Road to Ruin documents that came out of the Fed. Every country is going to nationalize their mines. And it makes sense. If the people have nothing, no money, the country's going to, they're going to demand, hey, we got all this wealth on the ground. This is our country, especially foreign ownership of Mexican mines. Come on. I mean, that'll probably end sooner rather than later. When the system, even the United States of America will nationalize, and it's part of the Road to Ruta documents. It asks questions. What will the people decide to do? If it truly is the people's decision, yeah, they will nationalize. We don't have any money. We've lost everything. How do we start fresh? Gold, silver, and cryptos are your best bet. I mean, with gold and silver, we don't even have to change the Constitution. We can just say, okay, we fucked up. We really screwed up with this fiat monetary system thing. We're going back to gold and silver, and everybody who was involved in the criminal rigging and stealing of funds and things like that, you're going to jail. And we're not going to trade with any other countries for a while. This is all on the Road to Ruin documents out of the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston. And I've been talking about this since our first discussion about it, 2010, I think it was. And nothing has changed. It is there's little things that have become different, but nothing really has changed. The plan was, run the unbacked fiat system for as long and hard as you can, soaking up all the benefits, military, roads, bridges, houses. We've built the kingdom come. Look at China. They have ghost cities, massive cities where nobody lives in, beautiful cities, and nobody lives in it. They're doing the same thing. Create as many real things as you can with this unbacked fiat insanity, and then when the system falls apart, at least you'll have that to start fresh again. And that's where we are. And I do think we're at the end game. The silver can take down the banks, just as gold can't take down the banks. There's way too much gold out there. There's so much more than what they're telling you. And the banks hold most of it anyway, so I don't know why anybody would want gold as part of our, financial system, because nobody knows how much there is, and the banks hold the vast majority of what we got. Silver's the opposite. Nobody really knows how much there is. There's so much less silver than they tell you. But also, a lot of people have silver, and more people will have it, silverware, silver teapots, silver fillings. But I think the U.S. Mint, as criminal as they are these days, has been stockpiling gold and silver coinage for a very long time, and all in preparation for this transition that's coming.
It's interesting. That Bukele in El Salvador has embraced Bitcoin as legal tender, and it just makes me think about the situation we're in, guys. Think about this. So USA, endless debt and endless wars. El Salvador, Bitcoin. China, lots of debt, just like the United States, but lots and lots of gold, a lot more gold than they've let on. How about Mexico? Silver. India. Silver and gold. Bix, we've been sold out. We've been completely sold out, and they're literally now stealing our birthright with open borders, allowing illegals to come in and essentially seize citizenship. Of course, the demon rats want these people to be able to vote. They want them to be able to serve in the military and as police officers. These criminals have literally sold us out, and they've sold our birthright. Our birthright as American citizens to be born into this country is supposed to be a gift, and they're stealing that. Not only are they stealing everything that's not nailed down, they're stealing our birthright.
You want to know what's coming, though?
What?
Mass exodus of everybody that came into the United States is going to run home, especially in Mexico, because when silver is freely traded, Mexico has the most silver on the planet. All their relatives are going to be rich in Mexico. They would much rather live in Mexico. Just they wanted a, not counting the criminals and all that, they wanted a better life. Well, their better life is going to be in Mexico because of the amount of wealth that will be shoveled into Mexico at, say, $10,000 an ounce silver. All their relatives will be rich in these tiny little hovels that they can rebuild. So there's going to be a massive exodus out of the United States and into Mexico. That's why when Trump went and talked to the president of Mexico, he came back and said, yeah, Mexico agreed to build the wall and they agreed to pay for it. That's why they agreed to pay for it. They don't want everybody running back into Mexico when silver freely trades.
What do you make of the situation we're in right now in terms of the issuance of debt? Another $1 trillion of debt is issued by this criminal government every 100 days. I don't think people have any idea how much money that is. It can't be counted. And you know what? It can't be accounted for. Take a look at the Pentagon. I mean, they can't pass an audit. They lose trillions of dollars every year. Nobody seems to know where the money goes. What do you make of this situation we're in? And if you had to guess, how quickly is this whole thing going to end? Because it seems to be ending right before our very eyes on a daily basis. Just look no further than Bitcoin. Okay, I know my audience doesn't love Bitcoin, but every single currency on planet Earth is now trading pretty much at an all-time high in Bitcoin. And I just saw yesterday that the Indian rupee has lost 99.6% of its value when priced in Bitcoin.
Yeah. Well, I would say that if anybody who doesn't like Bitcoin, what are you going to have when the system collapses? You'll have standalone assets in your own possession only. Gold and silver, that's great. You got your gold and silver. You're also going to have your Bitcoin in your own possession. If you know how to hold it properly and you don't keep it on an exchange like FTX, Bitcoin will be one of the choices and will be used when governments go away, when the system falls apart. We will be able to choose our own currency like we were able to in the early days of the United States of America. We will be free again. And certain people will have cryptos and certain won't. Those people will transact with each other. That's fine. Certain people will have gold and silver. Certain people won't. They'll transact with each other. We're moving away from a fiat, meaning a dictated type of currency to the population, to using whatever we want. You can even barter in the near future. Cryptos just make that a little easier, and there will be enough. There already is. There's millions and millions of people who deal in cryptocurrencies already, and anybody who's poo-pooing it has missed that boat. And it's sad to think about, but when the system falls apart, we're going to have to look at what we have and say, okay, this is what I can use as money if I want. This is what I can feed my family with. This is what I can barter with. Gold, silver, and crypto. And cryptos are the number one, well, Bitcoin, for example, number one things to have as a standalone asset in your own possession for the collapse of this crazy fiat monetary system. Now, when you're talking about the debt, that's just the debt that's reported. Every country now prints debt and doesn't tell people about it. The U.S. has done over $100 trillion in fake bonds. Catherine Austin Fitz has founded that. This is not, these numbers aren't, it's worse than even as represented here. And the key, and when you think about it, this goes back to Alan Greenspan inventing the electronic monetary system. The key is the difference today in money or debt is the difference between $100 billion and $1 trillion is one little tiny computer zero. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. That's $900 billion. All it is one little zero on a computer blip and faith and confidence behind it. It's sad when you think about it, but that's the world we live in today. And That's what the plan was, to destroy the old system, to get rid of the bad guys, is to destroy everything.
I want to ask you your thoughts about Peter Schiff. So I've had him on the show in the past. It's been years. I used to like Peter Schiff, but I got to tell you, there's something about Peter that really bothers me these days, and it's his willingness to troll Bitcoin on a daily basis. And I'll tell you why that bothers me. You know, Max Keiser read Peter the Riot Act and basically won every debate he ever had with Peter regarding Bitcoin, in my opinion. And Peter always closed the door on Bitcoin. In fact, as Max tells the story, he visited Peter at his home, I think when Bitcoin was $5 or $10, and tried to help Peter understand what Bitcoin was. Peter just never totally got it. Ever since, Peter has been the world's biggest Bitcoin troll, to the degree that if gold is up one day and Bitcoin is down, because Bitcoin is volatile, he will gloat about how Bitcoin's going to zero, so you better sell it while you still can, because if you don't, you're going to sell for lower prices in a panic. Every single day. To which the other day I responded to one of his tweets and I said, Peter, you become this world-class troll. And it's funny too, because when gold goes down during a day, I don't gloat and say, see, you better own Bitcoin. I think there's room to own Bitcoin, gold, and silver in physical form. And by the way, the other thing that Peter never, ever talks about, when gold goes down like it did the other day, he said it's profit-taking. He never talks about the manipulation of the markets, the paper manipulation of gold and silver, which is now so explicitly understood by anyone who follows this stuff, that I think Peter is lying by omission. And I think it's pretty shameful, because if you think how much money he's cost his investors and people who follow him in Bitcoin by making them afraid of Bitcoin, it's kind of a shameful thing, in my opinion. Your thoughts on anything I just said?
Well, there's a few people like that that I've met over the years. And I would say, hey, I was kind of like that at the beginning, too. When electronic money, what are you talking about? That's the dumbest thing ever. You have to have, you know, there's no intrinsic value there, blah, blah, blah. That was my mantra at GATA, the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, right? And then Cliff Hyde calls me and said, hey, you're thinking about this wrong. And he explained to me what it was, how secure it is. It's a standalone asset. There's a maximum amount they can, you know, and all these things that Bitcoin was at the time. And I was like, okay. And I started to research it more. The problem with guys like Peter and Chris Duane and everybody who's done well supporting gold, silver, they have a mental block because they didn't do it originally, because they couldn't understand it originally. There's a mental block there that says, no, if I give up the ghost now, if I turncoat now, I'll have admitted that I am 100% wrong. Even though you look at Bitcoin being the best performing asset in history, and he won't. He won't go there. It doesn't matter what happens. And he, to his dying day, he's going to say it when, you know, Bitcoin's at, $200 million of Bitcoin. He's going to be saying, it's a Ponzi scheme, if he's still here. And there's people like that. It's kind of like I would stretch a little further to the people who don't understand what altcoins can do and just are Bitcoin maximalists. It was so hard for them to get to where they were understanding Bitcoin that they refused to see the real change. And the real change is not, who was it? The head of Templeton Investments said Bitcoin's a distraction. The real change is the blockchain and other cryptos, the things that can change the world and are changing the world about the original idea of a standalone currency, electronic money. I do believe that. I think Bitcoin is okay. I'd rather have gold than Bitcoin. And I know there's 10 times as much gold as they're saying. Obviously, I decided to have silver instead of gold. But the reality of Bitcoin, yeah, it might last for a while, but there's so many better opportunities out there in the crypto world than just Bitcoin.
There are a lot of opportunities out there to trade and make money. But my experience over time has been, and it's really Max Keiser who says, he calls them all shit coins. There is only one Bitcoin and it's not a cryptocurrency. And I think that's interesting, because I have pretty much lost most of my money in anything other than Bitcoin that I ever invested in, with the exception of Solana. And I know you're big on Theta. Feel free to talk about Theta too. But I want to talk about this chart. By the way, what I was trying to say there, guys, is that if you buy and hold Bitcoin over time, anybody who's ever bought and held Bitcoin over time has not lost money. I mean, statistically speaking, I think 94% of people are in profit. I mean, unless you just bought the other day at like 70,000. So let's talk about what happened the other day. Dollar days are here. You and I both know that should be the case, and it should continue every single day until silver finds its equilibrium price. I mean, boy, at what? 300, 500, 1,000? It went up $1.14, 4% in one day. Describe the panic behind the scenes at the banks when this occurred because they could not let silver pierce 30. What goes on these days when then it collapses a buck or two over the next day?
Well, I wouldn't say panic. They can click a mouse and put the price of silver to zero if they wanted by dumping, you know, a trillion contracts of COMEX silver down on the market. I mean, when you live in a fairy tale world where fake silver is traded every day to set the price, I don't call that a panic. But clearly, there are people on lower rungs of this game that are offsides when it comes to silver. The higher rungs are the actual control of the electronic monetary system out of the U.S. Federal Reserve, New York, and the Exchange Stabilization Fund. Although there is a limit to how much they can do monetarily with the Exchange Stabilization Fund, there's no limits on the amount of derivatives they can use. So yeah, they can dump a trillion ounces of fake silver or 10 trillion ounces of fake silver on the market and put the price of silver at minus $40 like they did with oil. So dollar days came from Cliff High. In Cliff High's data, he said he sees dollar days for silver. In his data, there was dollar days, there were $5 days and $10 days coming. The first stop would be $600 silver after it breaks over 50. And then it would shake around a little and then go up into the thousands of dollars per ounce of silver. And I can easily see that. And that's why I put dollar days on this one. Mm-hmm. The dollar days are coming, I think, this year. And what is going to ensure that happens is the consumption. The demand for silver is off the charts. The consumption of silver and solar this year, they've already started at almost the same pace. So another doubling is on track for this year, at least in China. We could do 500, 600 million ounces just this year in solar, which would be another, you know, 2 billion ounces gone. And, you know, they might lie about it like the Silver Institute does, but that physical silver is not coming back. And in one day, everybody's going to look and say, oh my God, I can't find any silver anywhere for any price. Mm-hmm. And Cliff calls that unobtainium.
Yeah.
When silver becomes unobtainium.
Yeah. There should be $10 days though coming, but let me clarify or revise my statement about the panic. Instead of the banks panicking, let me be more specific by asking you a question. What is the yield right now in a 10-year bond? Do you have that handy? It's around 4 or 5%.
Yeah. 4 or 5. I stopped okay. watching. It's a long
so
time
ago. The criminal government wants people to accept their debt in exchange for a bond yielding, let's say 5% a year. As they print the currency into oblivion, the panic then should be at the Fed and the people that issue the debt when they see numbers like this, silver rising 4% in one day. See, the point is that once the world fully wakes up and nation states specifically abandon these bonds and get into precious metals and Bitcoin, it is game over. Then we hit hyperinflation. Then we see $600 silver. Then we see, you know, like in that movie, Civil War, $300 for a sandwich. We have cheese, we have ham. Literally is a line from that movie. The woman has $300. She's looking for half a tank of gas. He says, you're not going to get half a tank of gas. You can get a sandwich for that. Ham or cheese?
$300 for half a tank and two cans.
$300 buys you a sandwich. We got ham or cheese.
That's what's coming, man. Hopefully not the Civil War part.
Well, they want it. Some people want it. I think the good guys are going to, you know, start revealing some truths. All we need is the truth, and we're not going to fight against each other. We're going to fight against the politicians and the bankers and the deep state. All we need is the truth. And once the truth, we need more truth to come out, obviously. If we don't get the truth, then, yeah, we're going to have civil war, lefties versus righties. And that's what they're trying to tell us that we should fight for. Everybody on the right should fight against everybody on the left. And it's all bullshit. It's absolute bullshit. What we need to do is get together as a country. And by the way, why not start a new monetary system and a new election system and go back to the Constitution? And there's so many things that we need to do, and they're not letting us do it because they're lying to us about everything, literally everything, including markets. So, yeah, there she is, Janet Yellen, who just went to China to beg for them to stop making electric cars and stop making solar panels. That's all about silver 100 times.
Really? Oh, my God. She's such an inspiration, though. I mean, honestly, just think of the situation in which we find ourselves. A dog king for president because of a stolen election and this bumbling old woman being the head of our money. I mean, it's just so crazy, man. And young people are waking up in droves. They're waking up to taxation without representation. They're waking up to the fraud that is Social Security. They know they're never going to get any money. These 20, 30 year old people who are working and can barely make ends meet, they can barely pay their rent. And if they choose to buy food, then they can't pay for gas. If they put gas in their car, they can't buy food. I mean, it's getting that bad for some people. Look, they need to understand who the enemy is. The enemy is not their parents or their grandparents, although their parents and grandparents did let this criminal government get away with too much BS for decades. But the enemy is the Fed. The enemy is Janet Yellen. The enemy is Alan Greenspan. Well, I'll stop there because I know that you think Alan Greenspan might be one of the good guys.
Well, there is plenty of evidence saying that he was doing this all on purpose. But what he did was 10 times worse than everybody else. He printed more money than anybody because he wanted to fasten, you know, increase the speed that the whole system implodes. That's why they call them bubbles. He created a bubble everywhere. And what ultimately he wanted to do was create it so big, and especially in the derivative bubble, to pop the bubble and start fresh. So ultimately, yeah, he everybody says, oh, he was the worst. And I'm like, well, don't we want the old system to end because you can't buy anything anymore? And there's nobody's paying off a debt, right? You used to hear Congress saying, we have to pay off the national debt. We have to get our balance our books. Nobody's saying that anymore. That's out the window. So, yeah, it's interesting times. Oh, by the way, the new AI pictures on ChatGPT, you can make AI pictures like this guy lying there with silver. That's all AI. Oh, I've been messing around with that. It's so fun. You literally tell it what you want, and it comes up with pictures like that. Like this would be, I want a guy back in the 50s who was working hard in the silver mine or silver vault, lying there, just silver all around him. And it would create that exact picture.
It's so curious. In the last few minutes we have together, remind people the beauty of silver, the importance historically of silver, what a British pound used to be, the opium wars. In what denomination did the Brits want to get paid by China? I mean, the reason I bring it up is because I have kilo bars of silver and they're beautiful. They're just like those. Those are bigger than kilos, but the silver's so beautiful in physical form. I always enjoyed buying it because I had the pleasure of taking delivery of something of value. You know, it's fun to go buy a new LED TV, for instance, but it loses value every day. When you exchange your fiat for a kilo of silver, you get the joy of buying something and getting rid of your fiat for something that will hold value. Remind people the importance, the historic importance of physical silver, because if we ever return to rationality in this world, people who have hoarded silver, people who have stacked silver, are going to be the new robber barons. They're going to be the rich. And hopefully, unlike the actual robber barons from 1900, the Rockefellers and Morgans, hopefully the new barons will not be robber barons. They will be pro-humanity. Real briefly, just remind people, the opium wars. What did the Brits want?
I love the history of silver. The Brits were...
Yeah,
were,
the history and silver in 2 minutes, Pick.
Sure. They were buying silver, or they were buying silks and teas and spices from China and India, all the silver who were on a silver standard. China was 100% on a silver standard. So the Brits had to use silver to pay for all this stuff. All the silver was going out of England into China. They said, we need to stop this. They set up Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, HSBC. And what they did was finance the opium trade to get the Chinese people addicted to opium. And the only payment they'd take for that addiction was silver, and that's how they got silver flowing back into England, was to get the people of China who had silver and had a lovely life addicted to opium, and that's when it all started. Since then, Bank of England, the City of London, even the COMEX, all has been about controlling the price of silver And even with the Industrial Revolution, most of the silver is now gone, will never come back. People need to start thinking of silver as money again. And when you start thinking that way, it's probably a 1-to-1 gold-silver ratio.
Unbelievable. And according to the Helka Mining CEO, photovoltaic demand has been exponential.
Wait.
So only few get it.
The CEO of Hecla is the chairman of the board of the Silver Institute, who just put out the thing that says that the solar demand was half of what it really is.
Okay. More lies hiding in plain sight.
Yep.
All righty. Man, I always love having you on. How do people get the Road to Ruta report? How do people support you?
Go to the YouTube channel, roadtoruta.com, to get your feet wet, and then go to at Road to Ruta on YouTube or roadtoruta.com, and then just put your name and email address in, and you get all the free emails. It's fun to keep track.
All right. I was going to play that for you, but of course, at least you're monetized. Good for you.
Well, yeah, that's a dance.
It's a dance. Yeah, YouTube. Oh, my goodness. Google. What a criminal operation. The only thing maybe more criminal than Google and YouTube is maybe the government, the federal government, and state governments like California.
I'd say the bankers.
Like California, yeah. Google's threatening to leave California because they've introduced some bill where they want Google to pay news providers so the Mockingbird mainstream media would get paid by Google when it's actually a value to be on Google and get picked up and have, yeah, you get my point. These people have lost the narrative as they, by the way, raised the minimum wage in California to, well, you live in California. I think they raised the minimum wage to 20. And the result of that was immediately fast food restaurants and small business owners had to start laying people off.
Not only laying people off, they're hiring machines to do it. You just walk into a Taco Bell now and you punch it into a machine and they only have like one or two workers there where they used to have 10.
Unbelievable. These bureaucrats, they're so, so sick. Same thing happened here in the Twin Cities. Lyft and Uber are threatening to leave because these insane bureaucrats have announced that Lyft and Uber must pay their drivers a living wage of, I think, 20 or 25 bucks an hour. And Lyft and Uber said, well, there goes our business model. You've destroyed it. We can't do business in your cities. These stupid, idiotic, demon rat bureaucrats have absolutely lost their minds, Bix. It is literally like living in communist China. Communist China might be better because I think maybe they're more level-headed than these insane bureaucrats who've never run a business, but they're really good at running businesses into the ground.
China's telling their people to buy silver right now.
Oh, my goodness. All right. And so are we. All right, guys. I will leave a link below to roadtoruta.com. Our friend Bix Weir. Thank you, Bix. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. Friends, I want to thank you all so very much for tuning in. We'll keep our eyes on all of this, of course. And I'll remind you every single day, check us out to get the antidote to corporate propaganda 24/7. May God bless you and yours. Keep stacking, friends. Bye-bye.
Before the American Revolution, it's exactly what was going on. Read the Declaration. Look at exactly what they were complaining about. It's exactly the same stuff.